Hey, we are talking all things sewing, and it is going to be so good. Stick around all the way through because we are going to get into some really cool topics in regards to our budgeting, our finances, the generosity we have, and what does God really want from us? I think we're going to debunk a couple things and challenges that I know I've had. You know, I mean, sometimes when it comes to giving and finances, there can be, what is it called, some superstitions that we believe that I know God wants us free from. So stay tuned all the way through. What's up, everybody? My name is Antonio, and I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody.
And this is the Rock Life Podcast, and we are going to have some great conversation. And I want you guys to share, like, comment. If you guys ask a question, we're going to do our best to respond.
So, we love to answer questions.
Oh, man. Pastor Dan, what's up? How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
I love that blue on you. It's very summer.
Trying to be.
Very, you know, beachy.
Not
almost.
Like the weather or anything like that. You know, it's like that June gloom.
Yeah, I was going to say the June gloom.
Rolled in.
The other day it was hot at like 7 a.m. already. But
yeah. No, I mean, it's crazy because we've had some scorchers and then some, you know, quenchers. Yeah. I don't know.
It looked like it was going to. See, again, but we're different here. You like the heat.
I do.
I'm like, if the longer it can stay away.
My daughter and I were out the other day trying to, we got our new car. Her old car was just in the shop too much. And so we got a new car. And so we're Scotch guarding the seats.
Yeah.
And as we're Scotch guarding, I'm like, oh man, this spray can is dripping on the seats. Like, and so we kept going and I'm like, oh, I did it again in the same spot. And then I realized like there's water falling out of the sky. It was torrential downpour.
It
was crazy. Like thunder and lightning.
There was hail.
Yeah, I
heard. We got a hailstorm.
So at my house, it wasn't hail. It was just massive drops.
Okay.
And I was just like, this is bananas.
No, we had a full-on hailstorm.
You would have thought my wife was transported to the south. She went out on the rocking chairs in front of our house and just like sat and rocked and watched the rainstorm.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wild.
Crazy.
But I enjoy it. You know, I did take a walk this morning and was enjoying the cool morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it's all good.
I put it on Do Not Disturb.
Ooh. This is a moment for the podcast. Pastor Antonio's phone goes off in the middle of the podcast. What do we do with something like that?
Well, it was loud. I should have just not addressed it.
But yeah, you should have just let it go. That's all right. All good. So I see what you did, though, in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
You snuck that joke in again. So
I
saw it.
I didn't know how it did on Sunday, but it's just like a dad thing. Even though it doesn't do good, I'm still going to keep going.
We're
going to
double down on it and put it in the podcast. So, yeah, no, but we have been talking about successfully sewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it's been great, you know, just to see where this has taken us as a church.
Mm-hmm.
You still messing with your phone?
No, it still kept going off.
Wow.
I know.
Do you need to take it?
No, I don't need to.
Okay. Just making sure. It's not like Andrew.
It is, but it's okay. Uh-oh.
Oh,
I said that on camera.
Now we've got it recorded. Angelina, we love you. And please have mercy.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So this sewing thing, last week, we talked about some of the very practical aspects of our generosity in sewing. What are some comments that you maybe had in regard? I mean, we talked about budgeting. And again, not just for the sake of giving, just some of our practical take home.
It's interesting because we did have some people that were stirred up because as they looked at something as simple as a budget, it was a pain point.
Mm.
Because when they looked at it, if they start with their income, they take their tithe and give that right off the top. Then when they took a look at obligations and needs, okay, so take savings out of the equation, take wants and desires out, and then take any leftovers because there's no leftovers. They said just tithe, needs, food and water, that sort of a thing, and then financial obligations, your bills. They said, we don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when they looked at that, that was a pain point because they're going, I can't be generous.
Yeah.
And some of them even said, if I tithe, I don't have enough for needs and obligations.
Yeah.
And that's where sometimes I think people get the wrong idea about the tithe. They think of it as a bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bill that we owe.
Yeah.
It's a seed that we sow.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Bring all the tithe in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Mm-hmm. Notice God's not saying, pay me.
Yeah.
Right? He's saying, bring the grain, bring the food, bring the sustenance
mm-hmm.
that you would have had to live on to the house of God so that there's food in my house. And when his house is taken care of, guess what? Your house is taken care of. Bible says, never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging what? Bread.
Yep.
Right? Not money.
Yeah.
Bread.
Yeah.
So God will take care of those needs.
Mm-hmm.
God knows what we have need of before we even ask. And that's where it is a step of faith to tithe first.
Right.
Because you don't know if you're going to have
Yeah.
Enough left over, unless you calculate that out mm-hmm. financially.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is there's been so many people who I've met over the years who said, I didn't have the money to tithe when I started tithing.
Yeah.
I did it by faith, and somehow every month, at the end of the month, we'd have something left over.
Yeah.
You know, I told the story of my wife and I in Bible college when we did our budget and we had our tithe and we did a subtraction, you know, of all of our bills and everything that we had, and we were in a negative balance. Mm-hmm. And yet, because we'd been tithing all along, we didn't even know what God was doing. His math was different than our math, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And so at the end of the month, we still had, you know, before we put the tithe first, we had $20 left over. After we put the tithe first, we had like $200 left over. And amazing, right? I mean, just, mm-hmm. I don't know how that works. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet it did for me and my experience. And so, you know, when I met some of the people at the back door, pastor, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. You know, if I tithe, I'm not going to have enough. I can't pay my rent, that sort of a thing. And I think that sometimes, you know, God is pushing us into an arena of taking a sober look at what we spend. That's why, you know, sometimes before you even do a budget, it might be good just to know what you're spending.
That's good.
And that's where a financial journal would be a big help. Just, and it's so simple. You just write down all of your expenses, everything that mm-hmm. you spend money on. Bought an ice cream.
Yeah.
$3, you know, bought a coffee, $6,
yep.
$7.50, mm-hmm. $12. I don't know, you know, whatever, whatever coffee costs at the mm-hmm. shops these days. But, you know, every expense, and we know some of our fixed expenses. We know our car payment. We know the mortgage on our house. But as things come in, electric bills, what are your subscriptions? Mm-hmm. You know, it's estimated that most people have, I think it's been crazy. Like I've seen so many different numbers about this, but you know, people have 12, 13 subscriptions and you know, several of those that they don't want or don't even know that they have.
Yeah.
I
was one of those until last month.
Really?
Yes. We had like this Apple Pay thing that, and then I was like, no, well that's, we had this thing for storage, Apple TV and something else. Like, wait, we don't need that. And then we were doubling up on our subscription. Like I had one and she had one. It's like, well, no, we share passwords. It's the same house, so we can do that.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, there's these little things that you're just little things that are
double
coming
down.
Out.
Yeah, and money's just flying away. Mm-hmm. And that's where once you know everything that you are spending, you can make those decisions. Right. Well, I don't need that. Right. You know, do I need the $7 coffee? Right. Or can I get coffee at the store?
Yeah.
You know, there's different ways of doing those things. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't need ice cream.
Right.
Right? We're trying to lose weight, too, so... That's an easy one, right? Cut out sugars, right? So there are some ways of doing that. And that's where, too, I'm grateful for a generous church like this that does have food distribution every Saturday morning. We understand it's hard times.
Yeah.
And you know, many times people have a hard time coming and receiving because mm-hmm. it's humiliating, right? And I understand that, you know. But at the same time, those things are there to help people. That way you can say, hey, I'm not going to touch the tithe. That's mm-hmm. God's. I'm going to displace the food bill with what I get from The Rock.
Yeah.
And then I'll put that money that I would have spent on food towards bills.
Right.
So tithe remains, and I'm going to expect that God's going to bless me to where I'm not standing those food lines that long.
Yeah.
And the neat thing is we've seen people that have started our food lines that now are serving at the food lines, right? They start on one side of the table. Now they're on the other side.
Right.
And they still receive food and things like that, many of them, but they don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, God has prospered them. We've had people come on our shuttles that eventually have taken us out in the parking lot. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but I remember one person, Pastor, can you come to the parking lot with me? I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, like, what's going to go on? We get out there, and they show me a brand new Jaguar.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, I have wanted this car for so long, and God has prospered me and blessed me.
Yeah.
I'm a tither, and God got me jobs and increases and raises over the years, and now I finally got the car that I want. Isn't it beautiful? And I just celebrated with them, you know, because they came on the shuttles, and now they're coming in a Jaguar.
Yeah.
You know, now that's not the measure of success. They could have come in a Honda Accord or a, you know.
No, I get
anything, right?
They were just blessed that they used to come on the shuttles. Now they have a way to get themselves.
Now they have a car that they appreciate and that they're giving God glory for. And I said this, you know, God doesn't have a problem with us having things or having wants or desires. He has a problem when those things have us, when we're motivated by those things. And that's where the scripture says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, right? That it varied in its expressions, will the love of money cause evil things to come into our lives? So we have to guard ourselves against that. Guard against covetousness. You know, there's so many other things that sprout from that, you know, because it could be something that motivates us to either be a workaholic or to avoid responsibility or, you know, to be frivolous, right? To where we're not looking at our spending. We're just going after it, or we're overextending ourselves in debt, credit card debt, or, you know, loans or whatever it is. There's a lot of expressions of that that take us away from the centrality of what am I spending? What is enough? That closed circle that we talked about that says, this is my budget. This is what I need to live on, right? And there's a difference between need, seed, and greed.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This is important for us to understand, because the need is, this is what I have to live off of. Yeah. And God knows we have needs, right? Yeah. I love how the Bible says he already knows before you even ask him.
Yep.
But he still gives us permission to ask, God, I need this. And so God will supply all of our what? Needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God doesn't have any lack or any need in heaven. God has supply in abundance.
Yeah.
So he can supply our needs easily.
Yeah.
Food, water, clothing, roof over our head. God knows those things. Seek first the kingdom and he'll add all these things to your life.
Yeah.
Right? We don't have to worry, because without, you know, any question, worry never adds anything to our lives. It only takes away. It steals our time. It steals our focus. In fact, worry will even cause health problems. There's been studies on this, that people have been found to be less healthy when they worry. So that shows us that faith is a healthy thing, right?
Yeah.
And it puts us into the right perspective. But then from the need, anything left over, we call seed, right? And God expects multiplication. I think if anything, the parables teach us is that God wants to multiply our lives. He wants to bless us. He wants us to have an abundance. The question is why?
Yeah.
Why does God want that for our life? Because God wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. You know, we quote this when we do our financial confession, where we say that we might have an abundant supply for what?
Every good work,
right? So we're blessed. Why? To be a blessing.
Yeah.
You can't give what you don't have. And so God says, I want to multiply you. So when you do your finances my way, I will bless you.
Yeah.
And in blessing you, you will be
blessed.
A blessing to others.
Yeah.
Now, the difference between need, seed, and then the last one is greed, right?
Yep.
Greed is I want so I can have. I want for my own. It's that mentality of get as much as you can, right? And you know, flaunting it. The motivation for it is oftentimes pride. Look at me. Look how great I'm doing. I'm better than my dad. You know, there's oftentimes mentalities that maybe we don't even understand, because motivating factors. Well, as a kid, we never got to have this.
Yeah.
I had to battle that with my kids growing up, because Jessica, she's so generous. She'd be like, hey, let's get them this. And I'm like, I never had that as a kid. They shouldn't have that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was just like, because I had this mentality of, no, we're poor.
Right.
And yet Jessica's going, we can afford it and they want it and it's Christmas or their birthday and why not? You know? And I couldn't come up with any other excuse other than, well, I didn't have it as a kid.
Pastor Dan, you're, no, absolutely.
Am I reading your mail here?
<It's> like, next subject. No, but it's kind of just like, well, because you need 50 no's before you can get a yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, watching my kids as they've grown up into young adulthood and started working and things like that, I've been delighted to see their work ethic. I've been delighted even to see their generosity. You know, when I've heard of them buying lunch for others or blessing someone or wrestling with, man, I only had a five when the guy was asking at the freeway exit, you know, or things like that, you know. I'm excited about what values they carry, even having a childhood that was more quote unquote blessed than mine, right?
Right, because we think we're going to spoil them, right? That's the thought. Like, oh, I can't spoil them. But even in their blessing, that they can value what it would mean to you.
Yeah, I mean, we still had to teach our kids hard work, the value of a dollar. If you want that, I'm not getting it for you. You're going to have to save up and purchase it yourself. Right. They've all had those opportunities. It's funny because my youngest, he would, for a period of time, we'd say, what do you want? You know, this and that. And he had everything that he wanted. And well, do you want money? And he's like, what's money for except for tithing? You know, it was just like he had everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was nothing that he wanted.
Yeah.
And money was just something to tithe off of for him. Now he's looking forward to a car and, you know, other things. So he's got purpose again. And so he's like, I'm going to work, you know. But I'm glad that he's got that mentality. I'm going to work.
Yeah. So, I saw a video of a celebrity, and the celebrity's child was asking for something. Like, oh, no, like, can I have this? Like, no. He's like, what do you mean? Why not? We're rich. No, I'm rich. I'm rich. You're not.
You know, I've had that conversation with my kids. Not like in those right, words,
I
but like,
hey, I can afford. I can have afford money. That.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean funny. We have money? No, I have money.
No, I have money. You yeah. Don't. Oh yeah. My goodness, that's.
But
hilarious.
They're teaching them, and the idea is that we teach them the value, and it does. Money doesn't just happen.
No.
I remember having. I was having a conversation, and it's like, oh well, we have this, and all of a sudden you have a broken. Electronic that you want replaced.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, well, how are you going to pay for that?
I had my son had a certain gaming system that he begged us for. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of money on it and our estimation for a gift again. And we were like, you know, hey, here you go. And he was excited about it for a year till his friends started getting a different gaming system. Then all of a sudden, I want this other gaming system. And then it was like, well, bud, save up your money. You know, like we're not doing that.
Yeah.
We just got you this one a year ago. It still works. It's not bad.
Right.
You can play these games. Oh, but it doesn't sync up with the platform, blah, blah, blah. And I want to be with my friends. Yeah. And my wife's over in my one ear going, well, you know, he needs to be with his friends.
Right,
and then I've got grandparents in the other ear. Well, we could buy it for him. You know, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, everybody. He needs to learn the value of a dollar, you know? And so he did. He saved up all his money. Even he had birthdays that came and went and Christmas and all that kind of stuff and just asked, please give me money because I'm saving, you know? But he saved up and he got it. I was so proud of him,
You
know? And it was awesome. And so now he doesn't even use either of them. So,
well, I want to ask you, Pastor, because for those people who have maybe experienced either poor teaching or have brought in maybe personal superstitions into their giving or their sowing, and not even just their giving to church, but just how they approach finances, right? There's the, you know, the idea of like, well, it needs to be hard. God wouldn't want this me to have this, or, you know, this is why this is happening. How can someone overcome some of their own challenges in having enough or being blessed, financially blessed, and how they navigate through those things?
I think the primary way is just get into your word, get into the Bible, see what the Bible says. When you've got the father of faith, Abraham, and you look at how wealthy that man was, but not only how wealthy, how he handled his finances, how generous he was. You know, he hosted God. And we think of it like, oh, he hosted God, but, you know, I don't know that in Abraham's mind, he recognized really the magnitude of the situation he was in at the time. I think he was just generous. I think he was like, hey, you guys are passing through. Come eat. Come sit with me, right? And along the way, in this hosting, he realized, wow, this is something significant. You know, because the book of Hebrews talks about people have you know, it says to us to be given to hospitality because unknowingly people have entertained angels. I think it's talking about Abraham there.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's talking about that moment that he literally hosted a feast for God, right? This man was a generous man. When it came time after a big win, you know, here's Melchizedek, the representative of God. He's a king. He's a priest. He brings out a covenant meal. And the Bible says that this man blessed Abraham and that Abraham tithed. He gave him a tenth of all of the spoil. Now, he wouldn't give it to the king of Sodom because Sodom was an evil king, right?
Yeah.
But he gave to Melchizedek in that moment. Now, some people believe that that's Jesus. For me, the jury's out. I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've taught both ways.
What is it called? The Christology?
Christophany.
Christophany,
yeah. An appearance of Christ, pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, which, you know, the angel of the Lord and other instances, Jesus shows up, fourth man in the fire, that sort of a thing. And so, it very may well have been. However, I don't know. You know what I mean? It could have been a natural king that just, we don't have his genealogy, and he was a great man, and he blessed Abraham. You know, a lot of people believe that because the lesser is blessed by the greater, the only one greater than Abraham would have been Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of arguments on both sides. That's beside the point. The point of what I'm saying is that Abraham was generous again. Here he is giving a tithe of all, right? It was a faith principle that was a part of his life. And so when you see how wealthy Abraham was, I mean, him and his nephew couldn't even stay on the same plot of land together.
Yeah, right, because he was so blessed.
So blessed, right? And then his descendants, as you go on through the patriarchs, these guys were so blessed that people were like, get away from me. You know, like, you've got too much. Or, you know, are you coming to take our stuff too?
Yeah.
Like, don't you have enough? Mm-hmm. There's those attitudes and those inferences that you can see through the scriptures. And then when you take a look at guys like King David and Solomon, right, wealthiest king and most expansive kingdom. Even I was reading about Hezekiah this morning in my morning devotionals. Yeah. Talks about how Hezekiah was faithful to the Lord, how he reinstated worship and opened the temple again and broke down the altars. And then after that happened, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, comes at him and tries to take him down. But Hezekiah recognized that there's more with us than there is with them, that with God plus us, we're a majority, right? And so the angel of the Lord wipes out all of these mighty men in the army. And as they're wiped out, afterwards, they come through, and it says that the nations of the earth around them started to bring tribute to Hezekiah because they saw the blessing that was on his life, and God prospered him. Now, I understand that's a king.
Yeah.
We're not kings. We're blue-collar workers, you know. We're here in the Inland Empire, and it can seem so departed, but let's take it to a place where maybe we might identify more. Here's Jesus with fishermen, tax collectors, religious zealots, right? He's got a mixed company. And we could probably find ourselves somewhere in that, you know, whether you're an accountant, whether you work for the IRS, you might be like, hey, Matthew, that's my guy right there, you know? Some of you might be blue-collar workers, and you're like, yeah, Peter, James, and John are my guys, you know? Those are my dudes. Some people might have other positions, right? But the Bible does talk about the people that supported Jesus' ministry. There were wealthy women that supported Jesus' ministry. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Apostle Paul. But Jesus, many times people say, well, he didn't have a place to lay his head. But it's interesting that Jesus had a treasurer who kept a money box, who supplied for, I believe, more than just the 12 men. Because there was an
entourage of people that were
tons, right? Yeah. And if you read, it says that these people followed Jesus' ministry. So dozens. There were even 70 that he sent out two by two, right? There's even hundreds that it talks about. And then the multitudes, obviously, when Jesus broke bread, here's God with abundance, right? So I think when we take a look at that, here's Jesus who had a treasurer, and the treasurer was a thief because it was Judas.
Right.
And he would skim off the top, and yet they still had so much that they met the needs of all those people. So God has no problem with us stewarding abundance.
Yeah.
He wants us to properly steward it. Yeah. And I think that's where when we take a look at, and when we get the biblical mentality that wealth in and of itself, yes, can be a root of all kinds of evil. Number two, can have a demonic presence on it, right? Mammon. It's a demonic spirit that can be attached to money specifically. But that God gives it to us to steward, that when we start to steward it the way God wants us to, we break that spirit off of it, and we use it not in an evil manner, but in a good manner, right? That's where we have to determine need, seed, or greed. What are we looking at here? That's why we have to take a look at where is our money going, and what is enough? What do I have to live off of? And then if I don't have enough, what changes do I need to make? And those might be hard decisions. Maybe that I can't live in this house, I got to live in that house. I can't live in this neighborhood, I got to live in that neighborhood. Until God prospers me. And again, it's no problem having a desire. I want to get out of this neighborhood. It's not safe. I want my wife and my kids to be safe in a neighborhood where we can take walks at night or whatever it is. I get that, right? Southern California has very diverse neighborhoods. And so some are safe and some aren't safe. We get that. So is it a problem? Does God have a problem with you desiring to be in a safe neighborhood? No. But you may have to, for a period of time, make some tough choices and be on guard and watch those things and not have some of the things that you desire until your stewardship and your blessing puts you in the place where you now can move into a different neighborhood or drive a different car or afford those things that you wanted, you know? And again, that's where you get to that point, you know? And well, it might be hard work.
That journey, and you've talked about it, you guys have been open about it, because it's not like you started tithing and then the money came rolling in.
No.
And I think sometimes we can think, okay, oh, I'm going to give and then it's not going to be tough. Even the idea of budgeting. I mean, you guys talk about all the different ways that you had ramen. Well, you couldn't have a bunch of different ways unless ramen was part of your diet for an amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, because I think we think about, well, I'm like, no, you were blessed that entire time, though.
Right.
It didn't just, it's not like you were blessed once you didn't have to eat ramen anymore, right? You were being blessed and being, because there's the other part of it where we were talking about this off air, like your cars, you got away with it, right? Like you were still able to be generous. You were still able to tithe. You were still able to give. Now I'd imagine you could have not tithed and maybe thought you would buy, instead of ramen, we're going to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some of the principles, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is because maybe those are less told stories or less celebrated.
Sure.
Is that season before the, now the blessings, because we think the blessing happens when I'm not, when I can buy different things.
Right.
And I would venture to say that that's not accurate.
And I think it's hard in especially a 30-minute sermon, mm-hmm. right. you know, or 45-minute sermon even, that when we look at those things that, you know, we're looking at the ideal. Mm-hmm. This is the place where we want to get to. And I think the hard part is seeing the path to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to have that picture, though. We have to have that image of where is the summit, right?
Right.
But what we don't understand is that there's some valleys that we're going to have to go through to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some difficult climbs to get there. You know, as you were talking, I was remembering a time we had moved into our second home. We had two children. And I remember it was tough times, and you know, the economy had shifted, the bubble had popped, mm-hmm. real estate wise.
Yeah.
We were in an adjustable rate mortgage that we had got into naively, mm-hmm. thinking that, you know, in 2 years we'll refinance out of this interest only, we'll start paying this thing down. Well, then the bottom fell out, and here we are with this massive mortgage that we can't afford, and yet I had a conviction from God not to just dump the house.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did what they called a strategic default, mm-hmm. which was that they stopped paying their payment on their house and they let it go.
Mm-hmm.
They took that 7-year hit, right, or whatever it was on their credit, and they just went and rented,
mm-hmm.
and then eventually they purchased again. Now listen, I'm not saying that that's a wrong move. I'm not saying that anybody was sinful for doing that.
Right.
I had a personal conviction from God because I prayed about it. God, what do you want me to do with this? God said, stay, pay your bills. You can afford it. Now, he said I could afford it. In my thinking, I'm going, I can't afford this, right? It's tight. But we never missed a meal. We put shoes on our kids' feet as they grew. We put clothes on their backs. We were able to go on vacations because my in-laws were paying for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It was like, hey, we're going to Mammoth again. All right. Yeah. Praise
the
Lord.
Which is a blessing. You know? I mean,
we had fun.
Yeah.
You know, and we got away. And so, yeah, we got a week at a big house up, mm-hmm. you know, they rented,
yeah,
and we were grateful. They just said, pay your own food, which we were going to buy food anyway. Mm-hmm. So we still had the things that we needed. Now, we didn't have new cars. We didn't have new clothes,
right.
Me and Jessica. And I remember praying for 2 years through that process of getting that house refinanced. Mm-hmm. Eventually I did. And of course, I got the modification on the mortgage that it was. And then all of a sudden the forgiveness initiatives rolled out.
Oh, yeah,
and I went for that, and they go, no, you got the modification. You can't have the forgiveness. I'm like,
that's interesting.
You know what I mean? So, but you know, that house ended up being a blessing to us, and it mm-hmm. was a blessing to others as we eventually sold that mm-hmm. and used that for some of the things that we were able to do in our new house. Mm-hmm. We had, again, you talk about, you know, tithing. We think there's going to be no problems. We had a basement in our current house that flooded. I was able to take some of the proceeds for the last house and put it into the repairs of the new house after we had that flood.
Yeah.
God works all things together for good. Doesn't mean you won't have challenges or trials or have to think through or pray through or wrestle through things. There's still going to be a journey that gets you to that point.
Yeah.
And it may be top ramen. It mm-hmm. may be, you know, hard times.
In seasons of tight and seasons of abundance, God is still good. You know, one of the interesting things you mentioned, could it be, you talked about the miracle of like when God multiplied the food, could it be that God was conditioning us? Because would it have been any less of a miracle had there just been enough to feed everybody?
Right.
Because it was already, what, 5 loaves and 2 fish?
Right.
And to feed thousands of people, wow. Like, oh, everyone got just enough, and that would have been an amazing miracle.
Sure.
But yet there was abundance. What is God telling us in that?
Mm.
Could he be conditioning us for the idea of, I can do things extravagantly, I can have abundance, it doesn't bother me?
Right.
And again, that's not what we always strive for. And, you know, again, that's where false teaching can come in. But even just in the sowing, Pastor, that's what I've really enjoyed. I've shared with you, I feel like every week, just these little nuggets that I'm taking away that really have less to do about giving in a tithing envelope, but rather what I'm learning in life of sowing and reaping and generosity and open life. Like there will be enough as we believe. And there's, man, it can be tough to feel like it's tight.
Yeah.
But yet God provides.
Absolutely, so. He does. He's good.
Any closing thoughts, Pastor?
You know, I think that you know, the biggest thing is faith, believing God, and doing what God says the way that God says it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're out there listening right now, maybe you're in the car on the way to work, maybe you're at home or you're taking a walk, something like that, and you're thinking, man, I'm having a struggle with this area. I would encourage you, because God only gives us one place in the Bible where he says, test me now in this. And that test isn't immediate. It's going to be test over time. It's going to be test over stewardship. It's going to be test over what you do with what you have. And when you place things in God's hands, you're not going to lack. You may feel it for a while. There might be a pinch. But let me encourage you. Get ready, because there is a season. There's seed, time, and then a harvest will come. And I believe that if you desire to be generous, if you desire to have that abundance and to steward that in a way that you can be a blessing to others, that God can't help but bless your life. And so trust him. Be faithful, and God is absolutely faithful.
Would you pray us out in a prayer of blessing?
Absolutely. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your heart for us, God, your care for us, Lord, that as we are stewards of the things that you placed in our life, God, that you're not leaving us out there on our own, God, that you give us your wisdom, you give us your word, God, to guide us and to lead us. And Father, along the way, Lord, we know that we're not going to lack anything that we need, God. Lord, you who supply clothing for the flowers of the field, which are here today and then withered and gone tomorrow. You supply food for the birds of the air, God, which not one of them falls to the ground without your notice, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have the number of hairs on our heads numbered, God. You know each and every one of them, God. And you know our lives. You know our needs before we ask. And God, I ask that you supply and that you provide. Lord, I pray for our listeners, God, for our viewers, Lord, that you would supply for them, God, that you provide. And that, Father, that you give them your wisdom and your strategies for their finances, God, to steward properly the things that you placed in their hands so that they can come into that abundance and that they will be blessed to be a blessing, God. That we're going to see acts of generosity increase, God, at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, but also in the body of Christ. Lord, that we'll be known as a generous people, God. We'll be known as a place where people can come and where they can get their needs met. And Father, we praise you and thank you for the radical reconstruction of our financial thinking, God, where there's error, where there's fear, God. I pray that you wipe that away with your word and with your truth, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you in advance of what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Talk to you. See you soon. Blessings.